Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la Ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Hayya ala salaam. Hayya ala salaam. Hayya 'ala al-falah. Hayya 'ala al-falah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah.
Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim bismillahir rahmanir rahim Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين قل تعالوا واتلوا ما حرم ربكم عليكم ألا تشركوا به شيئا وبالوالدين إحسانا ألا تشركوا به شيئا وبالوالدين إحسانا ولا تقتلوا أولادكم من إملاق نحن نرزقكم وإياهم ولا تقربوا الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن ولا تقتلوا النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق ذلكم وصاكم به لعلكم تعقلون ولا تقربوا مال اليتيم إلا بالتي هي أحسن حتى يبلغ أشده وَأَوْفُوا الْكَيْلَ وَالْمِيزَانَ بِالْقِسْطِ لَا نُكَلِّفُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا وَإِذَا قُلْتُمْ فَاعْدِلُوا وَلَوْ كَانَ ذَا قُرْبَى وَبِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ أَوْفُوا ذلكم وصاكم به لعلكم تذكرون وأن هذا صراطي مستقيما فاتبعوه ولا تتبعوا السبل فتفرق بكم عن سبيله ذلكم وصاكم به لعلكم تتقون
یہ سورۃ الانعام کی آیات ہیں.
These are the verses of Surah Al-An'am, verses 152-154. The translation of these verses is, say, come, I will rehearse to you what your Lord has forbidden, that you associate not anything as partner with him, and that you do good to parents, and that you kill not your children for fear of poverty. It is we who provide for you and for them, and that you approach not foul deeds, whether open or secret, and that you kill not the life which Allah has made sacred, save by right. That is what He has enjoined upon you, that you may understand. And approach not the property of the orphan, except in a way which is best, till he attains his maturity, and give full measure and weight with equity. We task not any soul, except according to its capacity. And when you speak, observe justice, even if the concerned person be a relative, and fulfill the covenant of Allah. That is what he enjoins upon you, that you may remember. And say, this is my path leading straight, so follow it, and follow not other ways, lest they lead you away from his way. That is what he enjoins upon you, that you may become able to guard against evils. In the last Friday sermon, it was mentioned that in the month of Ramadan, the Holy Quran began to be revealed. In this sense, there is a special connection between the month of Ramadan and the Holy Quran. However, this link will only give beneficence and be of benefit when in the month of Ramadan, we, alongside reciting the Holy Quran, reflect and ponder on the commands of the Holy Quran, and that we make efforts to implement those commands in our lives. Otherwise, we would not be fulfilling that purpose for which the Holy Quran was revealed. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has said regarding this, the purpose of the Holy Quran was to change man from a savage-like state into humanness. It was through good etiquettes and good manners to make man into civilized man, so that whilst maintaining the religious injunctions and limits, to eventually make him into a man of God. Then the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states, it should also be remembered that the Holy Quran entails guidance for intellectual knowledge and practical accomplishments. As such, in Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, guide us in the right path, indicates towards seeking knowledge, while Sirat al-Ladhina an'amta alayhim, the path of those on whom thou hast bestowed thy blessings, refers to practical implementation, so that the best and most perfect results may be achieved. In the same way, that when a plant is planted, until it fully grows and nourishes, it cannot bear fruits or flowers. Similarly, any guidance that does not accomplish the excellent and most perfect results, such a guidance would be like dead guidance. It contains no potential for nourishment or growth. Then the promised Messiah states, the Holy Quran is such a guidance through which one who follows it attains the highest forms of excellence, and he begins to establish a true connection with Allah, to the extent that his amal-e-saliha, his righteous deeds, which are carried out in accordance with the injunctions of the Holy Quran, are likened to the condition of a good tree mentioned in the Holy Quran, which flourish and bear fruit. They have a special taste of sweetness and flavor that develops within them. So thus, if one doing full justice to the Holy Quran whilst reading it, and then gives full attention towards acting upon those commands of the Holy Quran, then practically a prominent and distinct transformation cultivates within a person. The highest moral standards also develop within him. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states, one who implements the teachings of the Holy Quran removes himself from a savage and beastly-like state, and he becomes a well-mannered person and a man of God. A man of God is he who develops a true and special connection with Allah the Almighty. Allah the Almighty, in the Holy Quran, has likened this to a good tree. Allah the Almighty states, أَصْلُهَا سَابِتًا وَفَرْءُهَا فِي السَّمَاءِ, whose root is firm and whose branches reach into the heaven. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has explained this in one place as follows. Allah the Almighty has explained this here, that faith is like a seed and tree, and the deeds or the actions are like irrigation. In other words, they take the place of irrigation. The actions and deeds are like watering the plants. The Holy Quran provides a similitude of a farmer, that just as he sows the seeds in the ground, similarly, this is the sowing of the seeds of the faith, There it is irrigation, whilst here it is actions and deeds. It should be borne in mind that faith without actions is like a garden without water and streams. If a tree is planted, but the owner does not give heed towards watering it, one day that tree will become dry. This is the same state of the faith. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا. In other words, do not be satisfied with merely light or easy work. In fact, great striving and efforts are required on this way. This is why the promised Messiah alayhi salam says at the outset, you can only become what the Holy Quran desires you to become when you systematically follow and abide by the religious commandments and the injunctions of the Sharia in the Holy Quran. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam explains that this is not achieved lightly or easily. In fact, a great deal of struggle and efforts are necessary. So thus, as I mentioned previously also, the month of Ramadan, or the Holy Quran, being revealed in this month, will be beneficial to us, or will give us beneficence at that point, when we implement its commandments as part of our actions, and that we lead our lives in accordance with them. It is when we make a great effort and struggle in this way. It is that we put ourselves into difficulty and hardship and make efforts to act upon them. It is only then that we can develop a relationship with Allah. It is only then that we can come to understand the purpose of the revelation of the Holy Quran. So thus, this Ramadan, where on the one hand, it draws our attention to many struggles and efforts that we undertake openly, that is, to abstain from food and water and some other permissible things. There, on the other hand, we should also make endeavors that in these days, when we are giving special attention towards understanding and comprehending the Holy Quran, we should also make these commandments and injunctions of the Holy Quran a part and parcel of our practical lives. This is so that we can become those flourishing and evergreen branches that are connected to the heavens, which are connected with Allah the Almighty, whose prayers are heard by Allah the Almighty. Strengthen the roots of your faith. Make your actions into those flourishing and evergreen branches which reach to the heavens. This is so that our prayers can continuously be accepted by Allah the Almighty. In the verses of the Holy Quran that are recited, Allah the Almighty has drawn attention to some injunctions and commandments. Amongst those commandments, some of those have been mentioned in these two or three verses, which bring nearness to Allah. They lead one to treading on the path of taqwa. They give guidance towards haqooq Allah and haqooq al-abad, fulfilling the rights of Allah and the rights of man. As I mentioned in the translation of these verses, it would have become very clear what these commandments are. As a reminder, I shall repeat that first of all, remember that do not associate any partner with God. Showing kindness and being good to one's parents is something extremely important. Never forget this. Ill treatment of parents is completely forbidden upon you. The third point is, do not kill your children out of a fear of having a lack of provisions and food. Then it states, abstain and shun all forms of immoralities and indecencies, whether open or concealed. In fact, do not even go near to them. The fifth point is, do not kill the life of anyone, save that which Allah the Almighty has deemed permissible. This has also been explained further in terms of when this is right. then it states do not go near to the wealth and property of orphans. The seventh point is that when the orphans reach maturity, their wealth and property should be returned to them. There should be no excuses. The eighth point is give measure and weight with fairness and justice. Then it states, act with justice in all matters. No relative or a close one should incite you to acting otherwise than with justice. The tenth point is, fulfill your covenants and pledges that you have made. Then it is that under all circumstances, strive to remain steadfast upon the right path. Sirat-e Mustaqim. These are the specific points, and then details are given of them. By following these aspects, one can be called a person who treads on the path of righteousness, and he can be deemed to be one who strives to attain nearness to Allah. First of all, the point that Allah the Almighty has drawn towards, which in fact He has commanded and enjoined, it is that you should never set up or associate partners with Allah the Almighty. This is forbidden upon you. That you should associate partners with that being who is your Lord. He is the one who created you. He is the one who nurtures your mental, physical, and spiritual capacities and faculties. He bestows all bounties and all blessings. So thus, which wise person would associate partners with such a God who is a possessor of all powers and the bestower of so many bounties and blessings? However, people do not understand, and they associate and set up partners with God. They do not understand the subject of shirk in depth, and they associate partners with this great God in a manner which is surprising. In every era and in every age and circumstance, this developed within the people. This is why the prophets, first of all, brought a message against shirk, associating partners with God. They, first of all, drew attention towards establishing a connection with Allah. Shirk, associating partners with God, is such a sin which Allah the Almighty has stated that He would not forgive. In this respect, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, on whom be peace drawing attention, states, every single sin is forgivable, but to set up and associate partners with Allah the Almighty is a sin which is not forgiven. In other words, it will not be forgiven. Inna shirka la zulmun azim. La yaghfiru an yushraka bihi. Here, associating partners with God does not only mean to worship idols of stone. In fact, one type of associating partners with God is to worship worldly means and to give emphasis to worldly idols and means. That is, we should give over attention to those things in the world which give us benefit. This, in fact, is called shirk, associating partners with God. General sins are likened to smoking hookah, that by giving it up does not cause pain and suffering, and it does not seem difficult to do so. However, the example of shirk, associating partners with God, is like opium, that once it is adopted, it becomes extremely difficult to give up. Then the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, drawing our attention further and going into further detail explaining to us, states, shirk is of three types. First, there is the common idol worshipping and worshipping trees and so on. Some people used to worship trees. So this is the most common and basic type of shirk. The second type of shirk is to over-depend and rely upon worldly means. That if this were not to occur, I would have been ruined and destroyed. This is also shirk. The third type of shirk is to consider oneself as significant as compared to God Almighty, that I can also do this and that. That is why Allah the Almighty says, you cannot do anything yourself. Every believer, before carrying out any work, should most certainly say, Inshallah, God willing. The Promised Messiah states that in this age of enlightenment and wisdom, we do not find anyone carrying out this basic form of shirk, that is, worshipping trees, etc. Although in this worldly and materialistic age, the shirk of worldly means has greatly increased. That is, over-reliance and dependence on worldly means and people has increased significantly. As I stated, means includes dependence and reliance upon persons, upon provisions, and upon possessions. Wherever you may be working, it is to be reliant and dependent upon the officers. Some try to please them and flatter them. When such a state develops, that somebody, beyond necessity, becomes over-reliant and dependent upon a person, persons, or means, then man forgets that purpose, which is the purpose of his creation. The Promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states, when somebody is given importance to an excessive degree, he becomes an idol. That when a person believes that without this and this, I cannot survive, then that is being stood up before God. It becomes something which is worshipped, and the relationship with that becomes worship. Yet only Allah is worthy of worship. Allah the Almighty states, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That is, the purpose of the creation of man and jinn is to worship God. And what is worship? The Promised Messiah, on whom be peace, explaining this states, in other words, O ye people, worship that God who has created you. That is, know Him to be the doer of all works. Everything that you do, the One makes them happen, who take them to their climax and perfection, who make them successful and prosperous, is only God. This is worship of Allah the Almighty, and have trust and reliance in God. Then the Promised Messiah alayhi salam states, in other words, O ye people, worship that God who has created you. He alone is worthy of worship, who created you. In other words, He alone is ever living. Only love Him. All other deities, all other false gods and idols are going to perish. Only Allah will remain. So only love Him. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam states, honesty and loyalty is establish a special connection with Allah, and everything else in comparison should be considered as insignificant and worthless. A person who considers his children, his parents, or anything else to be so loved that he is only concerned for them, that is also idol worshipping. The meaning of idol worshipping is not only to worship actual idols like Hindus and to prostrate before them. Excessive love and attention towards something is also a form of worship. Then the Promised Messiah states, O people, worship that God who has no partner, who created you and your forefathers. You should fear that almighty and powerful God, who made the earth a place of rest for you, and the heavens as a cover. He sent down water and sent all sorts of provisions and sustenance for you from amongst the fruits. So do not knowingly associate those very means and provisions as equal to God which have been created for your benefit. Then the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, further explaining the reality of worship, states, the actual purpose of the creation of man is worship, as has been mentioned in the verse previously. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam states, worship is actually that when man removes all sorts of crookedness and filth and completely cleanses and levels the heart in such a way as a farmer levels or clears the field. Arabs state, morun wa butun. Just as collyrium is grounded extremely fine and put on the eyes. Similarly, when there are no stones or pebbles remaining in the heart, there is no unevenness, and is completely cleansed so there is only the pure soul. That is called worship. As such, if a mirror is cleaned in this manner, one can see one's face. If the soil is cleaned and leveled in this manner, all kinds of fruits grow in it. Therefore, man, who has been created to worship God, if he cleans his heart and does not let any pebbles or unevenness remain in it, then God will be seen in that heart. I say once again that the plant of God's love will be created in that heart and will flourish, that is, if the heart is cleansed, if one begins to do everything for the sake of God, considering God to be everything and being reliant and dependent only upon God, then God is seen in such a heart, and the plant of God's love will flourish within. That tree will bear such wholesome and sweet fruits, which will be like Okalaha Daimun, that they will be eternal and forever. Then in another place, the promised Messiah alayhi salam explains that to stand before God Almighty with constant respect and regard is not possible without love of Allah. In other words, to stand before Allah the Almighty in a special state, in humility and humbleness, can only be possible when one has a special personal connection and love of God. Without this, this would not be possible. And the promised Messiah states, love does not mean one-sided love. In fact, it means mutual love between the Creator and the created. When man loves in this manner, then the response of Allah's love is received. Like the burning lightning which strikes upon the dying man, so in the same way as it strikes inside, it should burn the human weaknesses. Both combined should overdominate the spiritual self. In other words, when lightning falls upon a person and strikes him, it burns the person and he is reduced to ashes. In this same way, this love of God should be in such a manner, it should have such a flame, it should burn so intensely, because one meaning of Ramadan is also to have warmth. It is in such a way that the human weaknesses, the bad habits, they all together should be burnt away. And instead, spirituality should capture the entire self. This is the purpose of man's creation, and this is the purpose for which we pass through the month of Ramadan. So thus, this is that standard of worship of Allah, which the promised Messiah alayhi salam has presented before us. When this standard is achieved, when love of Allah dominates over love of anything else, then man becomes freed from all forms of shirk, associating partners with God. May Allah the Almighty enable us to undertake such form of worship in this Ramadan. May love of Allah develop within us, and may it be a permanent and eternal love for Him. The next commandment that Allah the Almighty has mentioned is to be kind to one's parents. This sequence and order of these injunctions is a natural order, which is a part of person's life. After the being of God in this world, it is the parents who nourish and help sustain the child and take care of his needs. Even the most poorest parents, steeped in poverty, make maximum efforts so they should suitably bring up and nourish their children, and for this to make innumerable sacrifices. This is generally the case. So Allah says, be kind to your parents. In another place, Allah the Almighty states, وَقَزَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ إِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تَقُلَّهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْحَرْهُمَا وَكُلَّهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. That is to say, thy Lord has commanded, worship none but Him. In other words, thy Lord has commanded, worship none but Him, and show kindness to parents. If one of them, or both of them, attain old age with thee, never say unto them any word expressive of disgust, nor reproach them, but address them with excellent speech. sometimes complaints are received, not from the children of ignorant parents, but rather from the children of very well-educated and level-headed parents, that the children are undutiful to them. Not only do the children not fulfill their dues, but in fact, they are cruel to their parents. Some sisters write about their brothers, that the brothers do not even desist from raising their hands against their parents. This disrespect to the parents is especially shown in matters of the inheritance of property. In the life of the parents, when their attention is drawn towards the parents' estate, this disrespectfulness begins. When the parents then hand over their estate and property to the child, they show even more harshness and disrespect to them. Those same parents who are the owners of that property, then there are some children. And such examples are even found amongst us. Then the parents have nowhere to live. Here also, in this country, on the name of freedom, those children who are entering into adulthood are increasing in their disrespect. This education, which does not teach respect to the parents, because here it is normally said that children are free after reaching a certain age. Or this freedom which children have been given here, which does not take into consideration respect for elders, or does not establish respect for their parents. This is not education or progress. In fact, this is ignorance. The teaching of Islam, in this respect, is a beautiful teaching. It teaches that treat your parents kindly, respect them, do not even utter a word of reproach against them. This establishes respect for the parents. Islam teaches, repay the favor of your parents with favors to them. Ihsan means that carry out such an act, which is excellent. Because otherwise, the Holy Prophet Muhammad ﷺ stated that you can never repay the favor that your parents have done upon you. In order to repay this favor, what a beautiful teaching Allah has given to children. Allah the Almighty states, also pray for your parents. رَبِّرْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. That my Lord, have mercy on them, even as they nourished me in my childhood. They, in this mercy, brought me up and carried out my nourishment. So this is the highest moral standards which Islam teaches with regard to children being kind to their parents. These are these highest standards which a Muslim should adopt for his parents. This prayer is not only during their lifetimes. In fact, even after the parents have passed away, this prayer can be made to elevate their status and rank. That is to say, this prayer on the one hand is during their lifetime, that those shortcomings that are from us, that may Allah the Almighty fulfill these shortcomings through this prayer, and that may Allah keep them in His special mercy. On the other hand, secondly, this sequence and series of mercy may continue to the next life, and that Allah the Almighty goes on elevating their rank and status. The promised Messiah on whom be peace has stated, Allah the Almighty has so desired that do not worship anyone else except for Him, and be kind to your parents. So Allah the Almighty has said this here, that first worship Allah. The next commandment is be kind to your parents. The promised Messiah states that this is in reality the rububiyat, that as a baby does not have any strength. And in this state, what great care does a mother impart to the child? And the father also gives the mother support in undertakings. Out of His sheer grace, Allah the Almighty has made two sources or aspects to look after the fragile creation, and has placed a ray of love in them out of the luminosity of His love. However, it should be remembered that the parents' love is limited, but God's love is real. So there is, in any case, a distinction here. Unless hearts are inspired by Allah the Exalted, no person, whether he be a friend, a person, of equal rank or a ruler can love another. It is the secret of the perfect rububiyat of God that parents love their children so much so that they display a similar type of love, and they bear so much pain most sincerely while caring for them that they do not even hesitate to die for the sake of their children. In other words, they bear all types of pain and suffering for their upbringing and nourishment. Then the promised Messiah alayhi salam states, فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. That is, never say unto them any word of reproach, and do not say anything which does not take regard for their elderly age and respect. Now this verse is addressed to the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but it actually relates to all the Ummah. In other words, although the Holy Prophet was addressed, but in fact, it is the Muslim Ummah who are being addressed. For the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's parents had passed away in his childhood. And there is also a hidden meaning in this verse, which is that a wise person can understand from this verse that if the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being addressed, that showed kindness to your parents, and in every utterance of speech, have complete consideration for their respect and elderly age, then how much should other people have respect towards their parents? This is what this other verse indicates towards. وَقَذَا رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. In other words, that Allah desires that you worship none but Him, and you show kindness to parents. Here, those who worship idols have been explained that idols are nothing and are of no value. Idols have done no favors upon you. They did not create you, nor did idols take care of you in your infancy. If Allah the Almighty had made it permissible to worship anyone save Him, He would have commanded that you should worship your parents, because they are also metaphorically your nourishers. And every person, to the extent of birds and animals, take care, nourish and protect their children at a young age. So thus, after God's rububiyat, the parents also have a rububiyat, and the passion of this rububiyat is received from Allah the Almighty. That is to say, that passion to bring up the children and to nourish them, the love the parents show towards their children has also been given to them by Allah the Almighty. Thus, this is the status that has been granted to parents, which we must keep before us at all times. It is mentioned in one hadith that the Holy Prophet ﷺ stated, "Disgraced be that person, disgraced be that person." The Holy Prophet ﷺ repeated this 3 times. In other words, such a person is worthy of being condemned and is unfortunate. The companions asked, "Who is such a person?" The Holy Prophet stated, "Such a person who lived to see his parents at an old age, but did not earn paradise by serving them." Then the next commandment in these verses is, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ مِنْ إِمْلَاقٍ. That do not kill your children for fear of poverty. This also has a number of meanings. Here, another aspect of the beauty and splendor of the commandments of the Holy Quran becomes manifest. First, the children are told to serve their parents, that they must be kind to their parents, that they should not utter even a word of reproach to their parents. A person raises a complaint when something is displeasing to him. Here it says that even if something your parents do or say displeases you, you should not reply to them. In fact, you should respond with kindness and with obedience. Now, the parents have been commanded that give excellent upbringing to your children, and there should be nothing which hinders you from giving them this good upbringing. Even poverty should not be a hindrance in this way. So thus, it has been made obligatory upon the parents that for the education and moral upbringing of their children, they should take care so much so that morally and spiritually, the children should not be killed. Do not kill the children by not taking care of their health. By inappropriately making savings and being miserly, do not destroy their health. Thus, when the parents have been given the status of rububiyat, then to take care of the needs of the children has been made obligatory upon them. To make the children into excellent members of the society has also been made obligatory upon the parents, because if this is not acted upon, this would be tantamount to killing the children. No wise and sensible person, never literally kills his children, except those people who are lunatics, or those people who have forgotten God, who only care for their egotistical and selfish desires. We find examples from them from time to time, and mention of them is found in various news reports, that with the help of their friends, they kill their children. Or such incidents occur in poor countries, that the mother or the father, along with their children, burn themselves, as a result of being distressed due to certain circumstances. So that is a state of extreme frustration and lunacy. However, this is not the norm. As I stated, there are various meanings of this verse. There are various meanings of do not kill your children. One meaning of this is that if you are not providing proper moral training of your children, if you do not give attention towards their education, that is also tantamount to killing your children. Some people, as a result of being too busy in their work and employment, do not give attention to their children and leave them neglected. As a result of this, the children go astray. This complaint is also found in the Jamaat. Mothers complain that the father is always outside the home and busy at work. As a result of not being at home, they do not give attention to the children, and thus the children are going astray. This is particularly true for those children who are becoming teenagers and are entering into adulthood. They need their father's attention and also friendship. I have drawn attention towards this on many occasions before. Otherwise, in the environment and atmosphere outside, they pick up bad habits, and this is to kill a child, morally speaking. The father may present hundreds of reasons and explanations that we are doing whatever we can for our child. But what is the point of those earnings? What is the point of that wealth, which is actually corrupting the moral training of the child? And even if they leave that wealth behind, what does one know if the child would actually be able to take care of that? The wealth would finish, as would the children. Then there is another state of this, and in the Western countries in particular, this is spreading, and also in our Jamaat, that mothers go to work, or they are not giving full attention to the home, wandering around here and there for some excuse or the other. Generally speaking, there is actually work, such as employment, and when the children return home, there is no one to take care of them. The excuse of the mothers is that they must earn for the expenditure of the home. However, there are also many mothers who only work to earn for their own personal expenses. When the mother returns home tired and exhausted, she does not give attention to her children. So the children, as a result of a lack of attention, as a result of an inferiority complex, the children are going to waste. Indeed, there are such wives and there are such mothers, regarding whom reports are received from time to time, whose husbands are doing nothing. As a result of the husbands sitting idle, they are compelled to work. So thus such husbands and such fathers should have fear of Allah. Those who, as a result of sitting idle and doing nothing, that they should fear God, lest they become the means of being tantamount killing their children. Further, if the husband is not suitably taking care of the wife, that is also a type of killing. Hadrat Musleh Maud has cited an excellent example in this respect. He says, if during pregnancy, the mother's food intake is not being taken care of, and the child is also becoming weak, then this also is a killing of the child. Another meaning of this is that out of a fear of poverty, to do family planning or to stop the child from being born. The child's birth should only be stopped if it is a matter of the mother's health. or at times, as a result of the condition of the child, the doctors recommend and in fact compel that the child should be terminated because they say that the mother's life is on the line. For this reason, in this respect, it would be permissible. However, it is not permissible to terminate the child through poverty. Allah the Almighty states, نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُهُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ It is we who provide for them and for you. In another place, Allah the Almighty states, إِنَّ قَتْلَهُمْ كَانَ خِطْعًا كَبِيرًا That surely the killing of them is a great sin. So thus, true Muslims and strong Muslims can never perform such an act, which let alone major sins, they even abstain from minor sins. So thus, we must give special attention towards this. That special attention must be given towards the moral training of the children. Give them time. Give attention towards the education. Give heed to establishing their bond with the Jamaat. Develop such an atmosphere in the homes. The pious upbringing of the child is being undertaken. This is so that the children can become beneficial members of the society and can become a part of the progress of the nation. The responsibility of excellent upbringing, nourishment and education of the children is most certainly upon the parents. So thus, the parents, instead of looking at their own preferences, they should give attention to the children's education and moral upbringing in particular. The fathers cannot say that the work of morally upbringing the children is the mother's, nor can the mothers only place its responsibility upon the father. It is the work of both the mother and the father. Those children have the best upbringing and nourishment where both the mothers and fathers play their respective role and play an important part of them. In these countries, as a result of divorces, single-parent children are in high numbers. They are being destroyed. In the schools in which they are studying, the school administration are also fed up, as are the police and as are the surrounding neighbors. It is such type of children who go on to entering a life of crime. They are corrupted from the very outset. And this is as a result of the parents not giving them due attention. Here I would like to also mention something that is very concerning, that amongst us also, the tendency for divorces is increasing considerably. This is why the children are also being destroyed. Some divorces take place at the beginning, and some divorces take place many years after the birth of children. So the parents, instead of their egos and instead of their own preferences, should sacrifice these for the sake of their children. May Allah the Almighty enable all of us to act upon the commands of the Holy Quran. Three aspects have been mentioned here. The rest will be inshallah explained later.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر